Brother Martin, will you share with us the gospel is still in effect? Thank you very much.
Amen, Brother Stroud. Thank you for that invitation, and thank you for allowing me to come tonight. And thank you for that fervent prayer that was uttered up in our behalf. We will get to the text tonight in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy saying, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man, Paul says. But when we look at this, and when we look at our society, people are saying, not saying God, not saying Jesus, not saying the Holy Spirit. They're saying there's a power of the universe. Just because individuals say that, what I'm saying tonight, the church is still in effect. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall stand forever. And if the word stands forever, we understand what it says in John chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning was the word with God, and the word was God. And so nothing was made without him. And then in verse 14, the word was made flesh, which means that the word is Jesus Christ, and it's going to stand, and it's going to be effective because Jesus is our Savior. But tonight, as we look at this text, and we look at the Roman church and the people that was fighting against one another, but still yet, in verse number 2, if we bagged up, it said the oracles of God, which means the word of God. People are saying and arguing about the word of God, but I have no argument tonight. I want to speak facts about the word of God, because God's word is still effective today. Just because we are not effective with it doesn't mean that God's word is not effective. Just because others are naysayers doesn't mean that God's word is not effective. Why do you say, Brother King? Well, he spoke the world into existence, and the world still exists. He breathed in man's nostrils and made man a living soul. So he's still effective even today. But in verse 3 and 4 of our text, Paul anticipates that the Jewish readers would disagree with his statements that God was not guaranteed to fulfill his promise to every physical descendant of Abraham. They would argue that such teaching nullifies all the promises of God. Folk will argue, but let me tell you something. God's word will stand true, and every man will be a liar that goes against God's truth. The faithfulness of God in verse number 3, this solidifies God will fulfill all the promises he made to the nation. Even if individual Jews or Christians are not able to receive them because of their unbelief. See, the only reason we won't receive the blessings of God's promises is that we do not believe. We have to believe because in verse number 4, it says, every man a liar. If all mankind were to agree that God had been unfaithful to his promises, it would only prove that all are liars and God is still true. Well, tonight, I ask you to examine yourself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, verse number 5, it says, examine yourselves whether you are what? In the faith. And so we want to examine tonight. We want to see. He is the purchaser in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. We want to find out he is the builder in Matthew 16, 18. He is the head in Ephesians 5, 23. He is the lawgiver in Acts 2, 36. He is the savior in Ephesians 5 and 23. The faith of God, when we look at the word of God, it is in effect. We can play around with it a long time, but we cannot play forever. in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 7. It says, neither ye be adulterers, that's idol worshippers, as were some of them. It, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and done what? And drank and rose up to play. It's time out for playing church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2, unto the church of God, which is the church of Christ. Prove it, Brother King. Well, I'm glad you asked. Going back to Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28, when it talks about God, God shed his own blood. Who shed it? The blood? God the Son, which is Jesus Christ. So unto the church of God, which is the church of Christ, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in what? Christ Jesus. So if you're going to be sanctified in something, if you're going to be called Christ Jesus, guess what? It solidifies that the church is still in effect today, the church of Christ, sanctified in what? In Jesus Christ. Called to be what? Saints, with all that in every place call upon the name Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. The church is still in effect. Let's go to Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. I said it, but now let's talk about it and quote it. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all what the flock over the Holy Ghost had made you what? Overseers to feed the flock of what? The church of God, which was purchased with who? With his blood, the God, the Son, Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying tonight. He's not being contradictory. He's solidifying, because the church is still in effect. Even today, behave. We have to learn how to behave. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 15, say, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself, where? In the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar, ground, and the truth. We say the church of the living God. We talk about the church of God, which is the church of Christ. The church of the living God, we've already established that. Let me go back. In John chapter 1 and verse number 1, right? In the beginning was the Word with God, and the Word was God, and wasn't nothing made without him. So the living God was what? Made flesh, in verse number 14. The pillar, ground, and the truth, which is who? Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 5 and 23, as the husband is the head of the wife, also what? Christ is the head of the church. Now, many people believe that Jesus only. But let me tell you something. If you believe in Jesus, you believe in the church. What did he say in Matthew chapter 16? Many people don't want to quote it, but I must tell you, I'll read it. But if Jesus said it, well, that's Jesus, right? And Jesus is the Word, and you say that you don't want to hear this, well, you don't want to hear Jesus. And that means that you don't believe in Jesus. So if you believe in Jesus, you believe in Matthew 16, 17, 18, because Jesus is who said it. In John chapter 17 and verse number 8 through 12, talk about the perdition, the state of being doomed, destruction. That means that we have to understand that salvation comes from the Lord and not man. Brother King does not have a heaven or hell to put nobody in. But in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 10, love this text in verse through 12. It says, but ye it is known unto all you that the people of Israel, that by the name of who? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, though this man stand before you whole. But this is the stone which ye builders set at naught, and which you have rejected. But it has become what? The head of the corner. Looking back at our text, understanding that God is still in effect, understanding the church is still in effect. Let's go back to the old, our schoolmaster, and come to the school, which is the New Testament. Remember Noah's Ark in Genesis chapter 6? How many souls were saved? Noah preached to the people over 120 years. Some folk said, probably asked the question, why you got one door in this ark? Or why do you have the window in the top, securing and being criticizing? But let me tell you something. Folk are going to criticize you today. Folk are going to turn their back against you. Folk are going to say, if you become a member of that church, I will quit speaking to you. Let me share something with you. God will have your back. God will have enough of his loved ones, enough of his saints, that will pick up the pieces and help you pray, help you get through, and help you cry and get strength. Why do you say that, Brother King? Well, when I was growing up, the world said that I was going to be a bishop in the Methodist world. And so there were so many folk that said, that's what you're going to be, young man. That's what you're going to be. And I said, no, sir, no, ma'am. I wasn't going to be none of that. Wasn't even going to be a preacher. But don't you say what God won't do. And then when you start listening and you start sitting down and studying God's word, you understand how powerful it is. You understand that there are some things that's going to come around. So if 8 souls were saved in the ark, guess what? That was enough. 8 souls were saved. Why? Because they obeyed, and they were saved by water. Let me share this with you tonight. Let's cover some things in Romans chapter 1. We know the text. We know the scripture. But I want to talk about the fellowship of being unashamed. And I'm telling you tonight that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Telling you tonight that the church is still in effect. I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, flow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished with done and low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, and lame visions. You know what it says in Joel chapter 2 and verse number 28. It says, old men dream dreams and young men have visions. I'm tired of the tame visions. It's time to have a vision to work for the Lord and be called a child of God and do what God would have me to do. I'm tired of the mundane talking, the chintzy giving. I want to give without grudging, not necessity. I want to be a cheerful giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 7. I'm done with dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, positions, or promotions. You know what Job said in Job 32 and verse number 22. It says, neither let me give what? Flattering titles unto men. See, we've gotten to a point. We like the flattering titles. Well, one man called me the word reverend one day, and I looked at him, and I didn't jump on him. I just looked at him. I said, let me tell you something. I am flattered that you would think that much of me, but I'm not worthy of that. I can't carry that. No man can carry that. And I went to tell him. I said, look at Psalms 111 and verse number 9, when it says, holy and reverence is his name. Yes, God's name is capitalized. This is not capital, but let me tell you something. This is not talking about man. It's still talking about God. It's talking about God's character, and nobody has enough character to be reverenced but God. And that's what he's talking about here. And so I have not the preeminence in Job 32 and verse number 22 to be given flattering titles. Matthew say what? We are all brethren. And so I understand that the platius and the popularity is not going to get me into heaven. I understand I got to obey him. That's what's going to get me there. I don't have the right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by the presence, lean by faith, love by patience, live by prayer, labor by power in Matthew 23 and 17. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall be humble himself shall be what? Exalted. See, the first should be last, and the last should be first. What are you saying? My pace is set
My gate is fast. My goal is heavy. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, and meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, bag up, let up, shut up until I preached up, prayed up, and paid up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ because the church of God, the church of Christ, the living God, the church of Christ is still in effect today. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we have the privilege. That's why we say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You're going to have some folk that's going to turn their back on you. You have some people that say that y'all done lost your mind. As a little boy, Lord knows, the man that was in my life with my grandfather. My grandfather told us one Sunday, we was on our way to church. It was snow on the ground, ice on the ground. And they didn't have service that morning. And we got back, and my grandfather said, y'all have to be. He said, son, come here. Went to go see him, and he said, y'all have to be some of the craziest folk in the world. Y'all go to worship even when the snow is on the ground. And I had enough understanding to know that you don't talk back to granddaddy. But I asked him a question. I said, Pop, I said, who made the snow? He said, God. I said, who made the ice? God. I said, who made a way for us to go to worship this morning and back home? He said, God. I said, that ought to be enough. See, God. And he just looked at me and said, boy, you something else. But late in life, we were able to sit down and talk about the church. We were able to discuss it like men and understand why we do the things we do. Tonight, church, tonight, members and non-members tonight, you have to become a part. I didn't say it, didn't write it, but it's in there. Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Let's go by Jesus. Let's don't play. Somebody said this. And I tell you tonight that when I was a little boy, I understood. I seen a lot of things. But I had to learn that there's only one. And that one church is still in effect today. It was hard to swallow that medicine, but that's the best medicine I ever swallowed. Why was it hard, Brother King? Well, I looked around at my family and all of my relatives of denominational persuasion. Good folk, but good folk alone won't make it into heaven. I tell you tonight, as I get ready to wrap up, as the eternal word, God's word, will stand forever. Matthew 24:35, 1 Peter 1:25. It is inspired. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God in 2 Timothy 3:16. Not some, but all is given. It's breathed. It's breath of life. And we will have the life in the living word in Matthew 4:4. But what's so awesome about it, it's infallible. It will not fail you. It will take you through your weary times of life. But going back to the text tonight, understanding what Paul was talking about here, yes, he had an audience, Jewish, what have you. But today, we're talking about to the world. When we challenge God, we are alive. And God be true. If you're on this call tonight, and you're not a child of God, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I know no other way than these steps. Man can dream up what they want to dream up, but I still hold and contend to this. You got to hear his word. When you hear it, then you believe it, but you got to believe it in a way that you'll do something about it, because the devil even believed with fear and tremble. He was shaking, he was moving, but he wasn't going nowhere when it comes to the obedience of Christ Jesus. You must believe it to a point. TH means I'm going to do something about it. When I believe it, I repent of my sins, Luke 13:5. When I repent of my sins, I confess that greatest name born mother tongue. And Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. When we go to the cross, every Sunday, I have a picture that I look at that has a cross and some thorns wrapped around it. I see what Jesus allowed himself to grow through to give me the privilege to speak tonight, to walk, to talk, to sleep, to wake up. All of this, Jesus was persecuted, talked about, spat upon. And I have the audacity not to obey the word after all of those sacrifices. You may ask the question. There's a parable. There are many parables, but I want to talk real quickly about one particular parable, the vineyard, in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. One came, third hour of the day, after the first hour, third hour, sixth hour, the ninth hour, the 11th hour, to work, and they all got the same pay. If you become a child of God tonight and you live faithful unto death, you will get the pay that God, the Master, has promised us. And every man that said different shall be a lie. The church is still in effect. God is still in effect today. Do not be. I use this at a lot of gospel meetings. Do not be like the lady that came every night of the gospel meeting. Sit at the back. The last night, got up, came to the front at the invitation. A man got up behind her and sat behind her and whispered something in her ear. And as the preacher said everyone to sit, they got up and left out. A good friend of mine was preaching. And as they left, 3 weeks later, track minister down and called it. The man called and he said, "You know, I'm the man." You remember the lady that got up and walked down to the front? The preacher said, "Yes." I wondered what happened. He said, "Well, I got up behind her. That was my wife. And I got up behind her and I whispered in her ear, if she got baptized tonight, she had to move out." She got up and walked out. And a week ago, my wife had a car wreck and was killed. And I feel bad about that she didn't become a member of that church, because I believe the Church of Christ is right now. He said, and the priest said, "Hold up, before you go any further, you have a lot of guilt, I see." He said, "But your wife's problem was she chose you and didn't choose God. That's the problem." So no matter what the situation is, we got to learn to choose God. This man went on and became a member of the Lord's church, heard that former doctrine, and lived faithful unto death. But he made a choice. She made a choice. And we all have made a choice and making choices right now. I pray tonight that you look at the cross. You make the right cross. Make the right choice, because the old rugged cross has brought us a mighty, mighty long way. If you're a member of the Lord's church and you brought shame upon the church, you must come back by reconciliation. Back into your hands, Brother Stroud. May God bless all of you. Thank you for listening.